Until now in the ninth parak, we've actually had a fairly clear discussion of various garments and items, etc. We are now going to have a discussion about shatnez testing a variety of garments in use in Mishnaic times. And just to be forewarned, the precise identity of these garments is not really known for sure, although, you know, we can take an important message away from the Mishnah nonetheless. So Mishnah Zion starts, Habirsin, Habardsin, Vahadal Matikon, Minalot Hapinon, Lo Yilbash Behem Ad Shivdok. So, Birusins and Brundisins and Dalmatics and Pinon shoes, you can't wear them, or sandals, you can't wear them until you check them. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Habaim Mechof Hayam, Umidinat Hayam, sorry, Inan Srichim Dika, Bipne Shechez Katan Bekanibus. Rav Yossi says, however, those which come from the coast or from overseas do not need checking because they have a they're known for being made with hemp. And the Mishnah concludes, Uminal shel zered ein bo mishum kilayim, and a cloth-lined boot does not have any concern about kilayim. So again, as I said, there's a little lack of clarity about exactly what these type of things are. Almost all the Mefarshim agree that they are, you know, various woolen garments worn on the feet or the legs. Sometimes there's some people suggest that maybe it's a cloak or some kind of like woolen undergarment or something like that. However, in all these cases, you do need to be worried about shatnez. I guess at that time there was a concern that you would be mixing the two, in the same way as in this day and age you really need to have your suits checked for shatnez, because it's known that there tends to be, you know, linen in the collar or whatever. So in the same way that we make that assumption now about some of our clothing, so the mission is just coming to let us know that you do have to be careful about certain types of clothing and that you need to have it checked. Rav Yossi explains, however, that in certain situations, the only place you don't need to check, because you're talking about clothing that are well known to only contain hemp products. And so too, at the end of the Mishnah, this type of cloth-lined boot does not have any type of problem of kilayim. Mishnah Chet now comes to discuss a little bit closer the idea of shatnez, and to try and understand what combinations of wool and with linen are biblically forbidden to wear, and that's where we'll start. So Mishnah Chet. Ein asur mishum kilayim ela tavui va'arug shne'emar lo tilbash shatnez devar shehu shua tavu v'nuz. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Na'aluz umeliz hu es avi shebashamayim alav. So the Mishnah explains that nothing is prohibited because of kilayim unless it is spun and woven, as it says, you shall not wear shatnez, something which is shua, tavu, and nuz. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, however, he deviates and causes his father in heaven to turn from him. So our Mishnah Chet begins by explaining that there is no prohibition of kilayim unless it is spun or woven. According to Rashi, this means that wool and flax were spun together, producing a thread containing a mixture of linen and wool. So in that case, if this linen wool thread is then woven, the resulting cloth is shatnez. However, Doraisa, according to Rashi, weaving a pure linen thread together with a pure woolen thread is not dafka Doraisa. The Rosh disagrees and says that even if you take a pure linen thread and a pure woolen thread and weave them together, you're going to have an isra of shatnez. But he says rather that the first part of Mishnah is coming to explain that it means only threads produced by spinning, can be combined by weaving to give shatnez. So weaving pure linen thread and pure woolen thread is shatnez only if the threads are manufactured by spinning. Okay, so they couldn't be raw. So so according to Rashi, the first part of the understanding is Doraisa. You have a situation of needing to spin a thread out of wool and flax, and once you have a strand of wool flax string, then you have your Isser Shatnez. According to the Rush, however, the beginning of our mission is letting us know that Doraisa, you really do have an Isser of Shatnez even before that, but you need to have produced this wool or this flax from spinning, right? You have to produce like a high quality thread, and if you were to simply like combine it, you know, in this raw form, then perhaps you would only be over the issur derabanan of kilayim. When the Mishnah continues with this idea of shua, tavui, and nose, so the implication here is that the term shatnas used by the Torah is understood to be a contraction of three terms, right? The three terms being shua, tavui, and nose. Shua being a term relating to smoothing or sort of combing out the fibers prior to spinning. Tavui means to spin. And nose is a little less clear. The Rush takes it to mean weaving, like you literally have to do the weaving itself. Rabbeinu Tam, however, defines nose as twisted or twined. So for a thread to be a component of biblical shatness, the thread must be combed, spun, and twined, or combed, spun, and woven. So as well as there being a bit of a disagreement about what shua, tuvi, and nose mean, well really what nose means, because shua and tuvi most people seem to agree on, there's also a bit of a debate about whether one needs all three to create shatnas d'oraisa, or whether one needs any one of the three. So Rashi and most of the Mefarshim believe that the Mishnah is making it clear that you need shua and tuvi and nose, and the Rambam believes that that really you only need any one of the three at any time, and they will result in the Isser Doraisa of shatness. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar doesn't disagree with this one way or the other at the end of our Mishnah, but he does want to explain halachically that the term shatness indicates the gravity of the prohibition of the gravity of the prohibition of shatness, and breaks down the term shatness to explain that shatness is someone who has distanced themselves from God. So again, a slightly complicated Mishnah with no clear-cut winner, as it were. There seems to be an idea that you need to have some type of process involved in processing the wool and flax for you to be over an Isser D'oraisa. The question is whether you need all three of these processes or whether any one of them will do. You know, whether you're combing out or whether you're spinning strands of flax and wool together, if that's an Isser D'oraisa, or if you're weaving flax and wool together, that's an Isser D'oraisa, or whether you need to comb out the wool and the flax, then you need to spin them together, then you need to weave them together, and it's only by forming the garment itself that you are over the Isser D'oraisa. So again, a little bit of debate about that term nose, and a little bit of a debate about whether one needs all three or any one of those three counts as an Isser D'oraisa. But ultimately, that is how we understand the Mishnah. Just a little bit of a question on what the final combination is that results in a clear-cut Isser D'oraisa.